In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A verse from our first lesson. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. From our second lesson from St. Luke's Gospel, Jesus' words, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Advent is about expectation. Something new is going to happen, something that will mark a decisive change in the order of things and affect our lives profoundly. For Isaiah, the expectation focuses on Mount Zion. He pictures God enthroned in the temple, with the nations coming to seek judgment. As Israel once traveled through the desert to the mountain of God in order to receive the law of the Lord, so now the Gentile nations make a pilgrimage to Zion so that God may teach them his ways. Their expectation is of a judgment that will bring lasting peace, when swords can safely be recycled as plowshares and spears become pruning hooks. God, on his holy mountain, will preside over a world at peace. Jesus' message is a more troubling one. He talks about the relationship between servants or slaves and their master. The servants have duties to fulfill, whether or not the master is there. They are to protect his interests, be ready to welcome him home, guard his possessions from thieves and dishonest slaves. Watchfulness is the keynote. If they fail in their stewardship, they will suffer the same fate as the malefactors. It's a demanding and unpredictable master who warns his servants, from everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required, and from one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. So with those texts before us, Advent is an unsettling season. The world is to be turned upside down, and God the judge will separate the sheep from the goats. Joy is mingled with pain. Light contends with darkness. Yet surely this is true to our experience. The world today seems a particularly dark place, with daily news of more atrocities in the Middle East, wicked distortions of religion by fanatics enthralled to violence, an unrelenting stream of stories about human trafficking and abuse, and widespread anxiety about the future of our planet. Optimism is in short supply. Gloom is prevalent. What we yearn for is some way of breaking out of a cycle of fear and failure. We wait for thy loving kindness, O Lord. The season of Advent recalls us to the Christian hope. The fear and the failure are ours, consequences of human sinfulness and fallibility. Everything we know about human history, and we know a great deal, suggests that men and women are incapable of overcoming these tragic and destructive flaws for themselves. Political systems rise and fall. Utopian philosophies and idealistic new ways of living prove transitory. International institutions to promote peace and global charities to eradicate poverty somehow fail to achieve that decisive transformation. Despite the convictions of the new or not so new atheists, human beings are never going to mend the human condition for themselves. Only the intervention of an external agency offers hope that the fear and the failure can be finally overcome. Isaiah's words reflect a sense of excitement that just such an event is at hand. He has seen the signs, and he believes the reign of God is imminent. It is that reign, that kingdom, for which Jesus urges his disciples to be on the watch, ever vigilant, ever ready to announce with joy the advent of the long-awaited Son of David, who will bring healing, peace, and reconciliation to a weary earth. The paradox is that the messenger is also the message, the Saviour King, whose birth we will celebrate at Christmas. Advent allows us to prepare for that. In a season of darkness and apparent decay, we discover the shoots of new life in ourselves and even in the dissolving world around us. Yet we need the austerity, the bitter reality and self-knowledge of Advent before we can approach the manger. That thought is captured in A Winter Poem by Ann Riddler, with which I will end. November smells of rue, bitter and musky, of mould and fungus and fog at the blue dusk. The church repents, and the trees, scattering their riches, stand up in bare bones. But already the green buds sharpen for the first spring day. Red embers glow on the twigs of the Pyrus japonica, and clematis awns, those burnished curly wigs, feather for the seed's flight. Stark Advent songs, the busy fungus of decay, they are works of darkness that prepare the light. And soon the candid frost lays bare all secrets. Amen. Let us pray. We pray for watchfulness in this season of Advent, that we may be prepared to welcome our Saviour and his kingdom. O thou who hast foretold that thou wilt return to judgment in an hour that we are not aware of, grant us grace to watch and pray always, that whether thou shalt come at even or at midnight or in the morning, we may be found among the number of those servants who shall be blessed in watching for their Lord, to whom be all glory, now and for evermore. Amen. We pray for the peace of the world, that we may not waver in upholding the claims of all people and nations to justice and freedom. Almighty God, who has created man in thine own image, grant us grace fearlessly to contend against evil and to make no peace with oppression, and that we may reverently use our freedom, help us to employ it in the maintaining of justice among peoples and nations, to the glory of thy holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We say together the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. Hymn 607.